out of your text. But we will draw the curtain and show you the picture.
Olivia removes her veil.
Look you, sir. Such a one I was this present. Is not well done?
Excellently done. If God did all.
'Tis in grain, sir. 'Twill endure wind and weather.
Oh, 'tis beauty truly blent, whose red and white nature's own sweet and cunning hand laid on. Lady, you are the cruelest she alive, if you will lead these graces to the grave, and leave the world no copy.
Oh, sir, I will not be so hard-hearted. I will give out divers schedules of my beauty. It shall be infantried, and every particle and utensil labelled to my will. As, item, two lips, indifferent red. Item, two grey eyes, with lids to them. Item, one neck, one chin, and so forth. Were you sent hither to praise me?
I see you what you are. You are too proud. But if you were the devil, you are fair. My lord and master loves you. Oh, such love could be but recompensed, though you were crowned the nonpareil of beauty.
How does he love me?
With adorations, fertile tears, with groans that thunder love, with sighs of fire.
Your lord does know my mind. I cannot love him. Yet I suppose him virtuous, know him noble, of great estate, of fresh and stainless youth, in voices well divulged, free, learned, and valiant, and in dimension and the shape of nature a gracious person, but yet I cannot love him. He might have took his answer long ago.
If I did love you in my master's flame, with such a suffering, such a deadly life, in your denial I would find no sense. I would not understand it.
Why? What would you?
Make me a willow cabin at your gate, and call upon my soul within the house. Write loyal cantons of condemned love, and sing them loud even in the dead of night. Halloo your name to the reverberate hills, and make the babbling gossip of the air cry out, Olivia! Oh, you should not rest between the elements of air and earth, but you should pity me.
You might do much. What is your parentage?
Above my fortunes, yet my state is well. I am a gentleman.
Get you to your lord. I cannot love him. Let him send no more, unless, perchance, you come to me again to tell me how he takes it. Fare you well. I thank you for your pains. Spend this for me.
I am no feed-post, lady. Keep your purse. My master, not myself, lacks recompense. Love, make his heart a flint that you shall love, and let your fervour, like my master's, be placed in contempt. Farewell, fair cruelty.
Viola leaves.
What is your parentage? Above my fortunes, yet my state is well. I am a gentleman. I'll be sworn thou art. Thy tongue, thy face, thy limbs, actions, and spirit do give thee fivefold blazon. Oh, not too fast. Soft, soft. Unless the master were the man. Oh, how now? Even so quickly may one catch the plague. Methinks I feel this youth's perfections with an invisible and subtle stealth to creep in at mine eyes. Well, let it be.
What ho, Malvolio?
Enter Malvolio.
Here, madam, at your service.
Run after that same peevish messenger, the county's man. He left this ring behind him. Would I or not? Tell him I'll none of it. Desire him not to flatter with his lord, nor hold him up with hopes. I am not for him. If that the youth will come this way tomorrow, I'll give him reasons for it. Hie thee, Malvolio.
Madam, I will.
Malvolio leaves.
I do I know not what, and fear to find mine eye too great a flatterer for my mind. Fate, show thy force. Ourselves we do not owe. What is decreed must be, and be this so.
Act 2, Scene 1. Outside Antonio's house. Enter Antonio and Sebastian.
Will you stay no longer? Nor will you not that I go with you.
By your patience, no. My stars shine darkly over me. The malignancy of my fate might perhaps distemper yours. Therefore, I shall crave of you your leave, that I may bear my evils alone. It were a bad recompense for your love to lay any of them on you.
Let me yet know of you whither you are bound.
No, sooth, sir. My determinate voyage is mere extravagancy. But I perceive in you so excellent a touch of modesty that you will not extort from me what I am willing to keep in. Therefore, it charges me in manners the rather to express myself. You must know of me then, Antonio. My name is Sebastian, which I called Roderigo. My father was that Sebastian of Messaline, whom I know you have heard of. He left behind him myself and a sister, both born in an hour, if the heavens had been pleased, would we had so ended. But you, sir, altered that. For some hour before you took me from the breach of the sea, was my sister drowned.
Alas, the day.
A lady, sir, though it was said she much resembled me, was yet of many accounted beautiful. But though I could not, with such estimable wonder, over far believe that, yet thus far I will boldly publish her. She bore a mind that envy could not but call fair. She is drowned already, sir, with salt water, though I seem to drown her remembrance again with more.
Pardon me, sir, your bad entertainment.
Oh, good Antonio, forgive me your trouble.
If you will not murder me for my love, let me be your servant.
If you will not undo what you have done, that is, kill him whom you have recovered, desire it not. Fare ye well at once. My bosom is full of kindness, and I am yet so near the manners of my mother that upon the least occasion more, mine eyes will tell tales of me. I am bound to the Count Orsino's court. Farewell.
Sebastian leaves.
The gentleness of all the gods go with thee. I have many enemies in Orsino's court, else would I very shortly see thee there. But, come what may, I do adore thee so that danger shall seem sport, and I will go.
Act 2, Scene 2. On the street, close to Olivia's house. Viola, dressed as Cesario, is walking as Malvolio approaches her.
Were not you in now with the Countess Olivia?
Even now, sir. On a moderate pace I have since arrived but hither.
She returns this ring to you, sir. You might have saved me my pains to have taken it away yourself. She adds, moreover, that you should put your lord into a desperate assurance she will none of him. And one thing more, that you be never so hardy to come again in his affairs, unless it be to report your lord's taking of this. Receive it, so.
She took the ring of me, none of it.
Come, sir. You peevishly threw it to her, and her will is, it should be so returned.
Malvolio throws the ring on the ground.
If it be worth stooping for, there it lies in your eye. If not, be it his that finds it.
Malvolio leaves.
I left no ring with her. What means this lady? Fortune forbid my outside have not charmed her. Well, she made good view of me. Indeed, so much that then methought her eyes had lost her tongue, for she did speak in starts, distractedly. She loves me, sure. The cunning of her passion invites me in this churlish messenger. Well, none of my lord's ring. Why, he sent her none. I am the man. If it be so, as 'tis, poor lady, she were better love a dream. Disguise, I see thou art a wickedness, wherein the pregnant enemy does much. How easy is it for the proper false in women's waxen hearts to set their forms? Alas, our frailty is the cause, not we, for such as we are made of, such we be. How will this fadge? My master loves her dearly, and I, poor monster, fond as much on him, and she, mistaken, seems to dote on me. What will become of this? As I am man, my state is desperate for my master's love. As I am woman, now, alas the day, what thriftless sighs shall poor Olivia breathe? Oh, time, thou must untangle this, not I. 'Tis too hard a knot for me to untie.
Act 2, Scene 3. A room in Olivia's house. Enter Sir Toby Belch and Sir Andrew Aguecheek.
Approach, Sir Andrew. Not to be abed after midnight is to be up betimes, and diliculo surgery, thou knowest.
Nay, by my troth, I know not. But I know to be up late is to be up late.
A false conclusion. I hate it as an unfilled cap. To be up after midnight and to go to bed then is early, so that to go to bed after midnight is to go to bed betimes. Does not our life consist of the four elements?
Faith, so they say, but I think it rather consists of eating and drinking.
Thou art a scholar. Let us therefore eat and drink. Marian, I say, a stoup of wine.
Enter Feste.
Here comes the fool, i'faith.
How now, my heart? Did you never see the picture of we three?
Welcome, ass. Now let's have a catch.
By my troth, the fool has an excellent breast. I had rather than 40 shillings I had such a leg, and so sweet a breath to sing as the fool has. In sooth, thou wast in very gracious fooling last night, when thou spokest of Pigrogrometus, of the Vapians passing the equinoctial of Cubus. 'Twas very good, i'faith. I sent thee 6 pence for thy leman, hadst it?
I did in petticoats thy gratility. For Malvolio's nose is no whipstock. My lady has a white hand, and the myrmidons are no bottle alehouses.
Oh, excellent! Why, this is the best fooling when all is done. Now, a song.
Come on, there's a 6 pence for you. Let's have a song.
There's a testrel of me too. If one night give
would a... Would you have a love song or a song of good life?
No, love song, love song.
I care not for good life.
Oh, mistress mine, where are you roaming? Oh, stay and hear your true love's coming. That can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting. Journeys end in lovers meeting. Every wise man's son doth know.
Excellent, good i'faith.
What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure.
A mellifluous voice, as I'm a true knight.
A contagious breath.
Very sweet and contagious, i'faith.
To hear by the nose, it is dulcet-ing contagion. But shall we make the welkin dance, indeed? Shall we rouse the night owl in a catch that will draw 3 souls out of 1 weaver? Shall we do that?
And you love me, let's do it. I am a dog at a catch.
By a lady, sir, and some dogs will catch well.
Most certain. Let our catch be thou knave.
Hold thy peace, thou knave. Knight, I shall be constrained into call thee knave, knight.
'Tis not the first time I have constrained one to call me knave. Begin, fool. It begins, hold thy peace.
I shall never begin if I hold my peace.
Good, good, faith. Come, begin.
Hold thy peace, and I prithee hold thy peace.
Thou hold knave. Thy peace, and I prithee hold thy peace.
Thou knave.
Thou
hold
knave.
Thy peace, and I prithee hold thy peace.
Hold thy peace, and I prithee hold thy peace.
Hold thy peace,
and I prithee hold thy peace.
Enter Maria.
What a caterwauling do you keep here! If my lady have not called up her steward Malvolio and bid him turn you out of doors, never trust me!
My lady's a Catayan. We are politicians. Malvolio's a peg of Ramsay and...
Three merry men be we.
Am not I consanguineous? Am I not of her blood? Tillyvally!
Lady, there dwelt a man in Babylon. Lady, lady.
Beshrew me, the knight's inadmirable fooling.
Aye, he does well enough if he be disposed, and so do I too. He does it with a better grace, but I do it more natural.
On the 12th day of December.
Enter Malvolio.
My masters, are you mad? Or what are you? Have you no wit, manners, nor honesty but to gabble like tinkers at this time of night? Do you make an alehouse of my lady's house that you squeak out your coziest catches without any mitigation or remorse of voice? Is there no respect of place, persons, nor time in you?
We did keep time, sir, in our catches. Snicker!
Sir Toby, I must be round with you. My lady bade me tell you that though she harbours you as her kinsman, she's nothing allied to your disorders. If you can separate yourself and your misdemeanours, you are welcome to the house. If not, and it would please you to take leave of her, she is very willing to bid you farewell.
Farewell, dear heart, since I must needs be gone.
Nay, good Sir Toby.
His eyes do show his days are almost done.
Is't even so?
But I will never die.
Sir Toby, there you lie.
This is much credit to you.
Shall I bid him go?
What and if you do?
Shall I bid him go and spare not?
Oh, no, 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 you dare not.
Out of tune, sir, ye lie. Art any more than a steward? Dost thou think, because thou art virtuous, there shall be no more cakes and ale?
Yeah, by St. Anne, and ginger shall be up the mouth too.
That in the right. Go, sir, rub your chain with crumbs. A stoop of wine, Maria.
Mistress Mary, if you prized my lady's favour at anything more than contempt, you would not give means for this uncivil rule.
She shall know of it by this hand.
Malvolio leaves.
Go shake your ears.
'Twere as good a deed as to drink when a man's a-hungry, to challenge him the field, and then to break promise with him and make a fool of him.
Do it, knight. I'll write thee a challenge, or I'll deliver thy indignation to him by word of mouth.
Oh, sweet Sir Toby, be patient for tonight. Since the youth of the counts was today with my lady, she's much out of quiet. For Monsieur Malvolio, let me alone with him. If I do not gull him into a nayword and make him a common recreation, do not think I have wit enough to lie straight in my bed. I know I can do it.
Possess us. Possess us. Tell us something of him.
Marry, sir, sometimes he is a kind of Puritan.
Oh, if I thought that, I'd beat him like a dog.
What, for being a Puritan? Thy exquisite reason, dear knight.
I have no exquisite reason for it, but I have reason good enough.
The devil a Puritan that he is, or anything constantly but a time-pleaser, an affectioned ass that cons state without book and utters it by great swathes. The best persuaded of himself, so crammed, as he thinks, with excellences, that it is his grounds of faith that all that look on him love him, and on that vice in him will my revenge find notable cause to work.
What wilt thou do?
I will drop in his way some obscure epistles of love, wherein by the colour of his beard, the shape of his leg, the manner of his gait, the expression of his eye, forehead, and complexion, he shall find himself most feelingly personated. I can write very like my lady, your niece. On a forgotten matter, we can hardly make distinction of our hands.
Excellent, I smell a device.
I haft in my nose, too.
He shall think, by the letters that thou wilt drop, that they come from my niece, and that she's in love with him.
My purpose is indeed a horse of that colour.
And your horse now would make him an ass?
Ass, I doubt not.
Oh, 'twill be admirable.
Sport royal, I warrant you. I know my physic will work with him. I will plant you two, and let the fool make a third, where he shall find the letter. Observe his construction of it. For this night, to bed, and dream on the event. Farewell.
Maria leaves.
Good night, Penthesilea.
Before me, she's a good wench.
She's a beagle. True bred. And one that adores me. What of that?
I was adored once, too.
Let's to bed, knight. Thou hadst need send for more money.
If I cannot recover your niece, I am a foul way out.
Send for money, knight. If thou hast her not in the end, call me cut.
If I do not, never trust me. Take it how you will.
Come, come. I'll go burn some sack. 'Tis too late to go to bed now. Come, knight. Come, knight.
Act 2, Scene 4. A room in Duke Orsino's palace. Enter Orsino, Viola, dressed as Cesario, Curio, and various attendants and musicians.
Give me some music. Now! Good morrow, friends. Now, good Cesario, but that piece of song, that old and antic song we heard last night, methought it did relieve my passion much. More than light airs and recollected terms of these most brisk and giddy-paced times. Come, but one verse.
He is not here, so please your lordship, that should sing it.
Who was it?
Feste, the jester, my lord. A fool that the Lady Olivia's father took much delight in. He is about the house.
Seek him out and play the tune the while.
Exit Curio.
Come hither, boy. If ever thou shalt love, in the sweet pangs of it, remember me. For such as I am, all true lovers are. Unstayed and skittish in all motions else, save in the constant image of the creature that is beloved. How dost thou like this tune?
It gives a very echo to the seat where love is throned.
Thou dost speak masterly. My life upon it, young though thou art, thine eye hath stayed upon some favour that it loves. Hath it not, boy?
A little, by your favour.
What kind of woman is't?
Of your complexion.
Oh, she is not worth thee, then. What years, i'faith?
About your years, my lord.
Oh, too old, by heaven. Let still the woman take an elder than herself. So wears she to him, so sways she level in her husband's heart. For boy, however we do praise ourselves, our fancies are more giddy and unfirm, more longing, wavering, sooner lost and won than women's are.
I think it well, my lord.
Then let thy love be younger than thyself, or thy affection cannot hold the bent. For women are as roses, whose fair flower, being once displayed, doth fall. That very hour.
And so they are. Alas, that they are so. To die, even when they to perfection grow.
Enter Curio and Feste.
Oh, fellow, come! The song we had last night. Mark it, Cesario. It is old and plain. The spinsters and the knitters in the sun and the free maids that weave their thread with bones do use to chant it. It is silly sooth and dallies with the innocence of love, like the old age.
Are you ready, sir?
I prithee sing.
Come away, death, and in sad Cyprus let me be laid. Fly away, breath, I am slain by a fair, cruel maid. my shroud of white stuck all with you, oh, prepare it. My part of death no one so true did share it. Not a flower sweet, on my black coffin let there be strown. Not a friend greet, my poor corpse where my bones shall be thrown. A thousand, thousand sighs to save, lay me aware. Sad true lover, never find my grave to weep there.
There's for thy pains.
Oh, no pains, sir. I take pleasure in singing, sir.
I'll pay thy pleasure, then.
Truly, sir, and pleasure will be paid, one time or another.
Give me now leave to leave thee.
Now the melancholy god protect thee, and the tailor make thy doublet of changeable taffeta, for thy mind is a very opal. I would have men of such constancy put to sea, that their business might be everything, and their intent everywhere. For that's it that always makes a good voyage of nothing. Farewell.
Feste leaves.
Let all the rest give place.
Everyone leaves except Viola and Orsino.
Once more, Cesario, get thee to yon same sovereign cruelty. Tell her my love, more noble than the world, prizes not quantity of dirty lands. The parts that fortune hath bestowed upon her, tell her I hold as giddily as fortune. But 'tis that miracle and queen of gems that nature pranks her in attracts my soul.
But if she cannot love you, sir?
I cannot be so answered.
Sooth, but you must. Say that some lady, as perhaps there is, hath for your love as great a pang of heart as you have for Olivia. You cannot love her. You tell her so. Must she not then be answered?
There is no woman's sides can bide the beating of so strong a passion as love doth give my heart. No woman's heart so big to hold so much. They lack retention. Alas, their love may be called appetite. No motion of the liver, but the palate that suffers surfeit, cloyment, and revolt. But mine is all as hungry as the sea, and can digest as much. Make no compare between that love a woman can bear me, and that I owe Olivia.
Aye, but I know.
What dost thou know?
Too well what love women to men may owe. In faith they are as true of heart as we. My father had a daughter, loved a man, as it might be, perhaps, were I a woman, I should your lordship.
And what's her history?
A blank, my lord. She never told her love, but let concealment, like a worm in the bud, feed on her damask cheek. She pined in thought, and with a green and yellow melancholy, she sat like patience on a monument, smiling at grief. Was not this love indeed? We men may say more, swear more, but indeed our shows are more than will, for still we prove much in our vows, but little in our love.
But died thy sister of her love, my boy?
I am all the daughters of my father's house, and all the brothers, too. And yet I know not. Sir, shall I to this lady?
Aye, that's the theme. To her in haste, give her this jewel. Say, my love can give no place, bide no delay.
Act 2, Scene 5. A walled garden in the grounds of Olivia's house. Enter Sir Toby Belch, Sir Andrew Aguecheek, and Fabian.
Come thy way, Signor Fabian.
Nay, I'll come, if I lose a scruple of this sport. Let me be boiled to death with melancholy.
Wouldst thou not be glad to have the niggardly, rascally sheep-biter come by some notable shame?
I would exult, man. You know he brought me out of favour with my lady about a bear bait in here.
To anger him, we'll have the bear again. And we will fool him black and blue, shall we not, Sir Andrew?
And we do not. It is pity of our lives.
Enter Maria.
Here comes the little villain. How now, my metal of India?
Get ye all three into the box tree. Malvolio's coming down this walk. He has been yonder in the sun, practising behaviour to his own shadow this half hour. Observe him for the love of mockery, for I know this letter will make a contemplative idiot of him. Close in the name of jesting. Lie thou there, for here comes the trout that must be caught with tickling.
The men hide themselves while Maria places the letter to be found. Maria then leaves as Malvolio enters.
'Tis but fortune. All is fortune. Maria once told me she did affect me, and I have heard herself come thus near, that should she fancy, it should be one of my complexion. Besides, she uses me with a more exalted respect than anyone else that follows her. What should I think on?
Here's an overweening rogue.
Oh, peace! Contemplation makes a rare turkey cock of him. How he jets under his advanced plumes.
Slight, I could so beat the rogue.
Peace, I say!
To be Count Malvolio.
Ah, rogue! Pistol him! Pistol him! Peace! Peace!
There is example for it. The lady of the Strachy married the yeoman of the wardrobe.
Fie on him, Jezebel!
Oh, peace! Now he's deeply in. Look how imagination blows him.
Having been 3 months married to her, sitting in my state...
Oh, for a stone bow to hit him in the eye!
Calling my officers about me in my branched velvet gown, having come from a daybed where I have left Olivia sleeping.
Fire and brimstone!
Oh, peace, peace!
And then to have the humour of state, and after a demure travel of regard, telling them I know my place, as I would they should do theirs, to ask for my kinsman Toby.
Bolts and shackles!
Oh, peace, peace, peace!
Now, now!
7 of my people, with an obedient start, make out for him. I frown the while, and perchance wind up my watch, or play with my... some rich jewel. Toby approaches, curtsies there to me.
Shall this fellow live?
Though our silence be drawn from us with cars, yet... Peace!
I extend my hand to him thus, quenching my familiar smile with an austere regard of control.
And does not Toby take you a blow o' the lips, then?
Saying, Cousin Toby, my fortunes having cast me on your niece, give me this prerogative of speech.
What? What?
You must amend your drunkenness.
Scab!
Nay, patience, or we break the sinews of our plot.
Besides, you waste the treasure of your time with a foolish knight.
That's me, I warrant you.
One Sir Andrew.
I knew 'twas I, for many do call me fool.
What employment have we here?
Now is the woodcock near the gin.
Oh, peace. And the spirit of humour's intimate reading aloud to him.
By my life. This is my lady's hand. These be her very C's, her U's, and her T's. And thus makes she her great P's. It is, in contempt of question, her hand.
Her C's, her U's, and her T's? Why that?
To the unknown beloved, this and my good wishes. Her very phrases. By your leave, wax soft, and the impression her Lucrece, with which he uses to seal, 'tis my lady. To whom should this be?
This wins him, liver and all.
Jove knows I love but who. Lips do not move. No man must know. No man must know. What follows? The numbers altered. No man must know. If this should be thee, Malvolio.
Marry, hang thee, Brock.
I may command where I adore, but silence like a Lucre's knife with bloodless stroke my heart doth gore, M-O-A-I doth sway my life.
A Faustian riddle.
Excellent wench, say I.
M-O-A-I doth sway my life. Nay, first, let me see.
What dish of poison has she dressed him?
And with what wing the staniel checks at it?
I may command where I adore. Why, she may command me. I serve her. She is my lady. Why, this is evident to any formal capacity. There's no obstruction in this. And the end. What should be alphabetical position pretend if I could make that resemble something in me? Softly, softly. M-O-A-I.
Oh, I make up that. He is now at a cold scent.
Sauter will cry upon it for all this, though it be as rank as a fox.
M. Malvolio. M, why, that begins my name.
Did not I say he would work it out? The cur is excellent at faults.
M. But then there's no consonancy in the sequel that suffers under probation. A should follow, but O does.
And O shall end, I hope.
Aye, or I'll cudgel him and make him cry, oh!
And then I comes behind.
Aye, and you had an eye behind you, you might see more detraction at your heels than fortunes before you.
M-O-A-I. This simulation is not as the former, and yet, to crush this a little, it would bow to me, for every one of these letters are in my name. No, soft. Here follows prose. If this fall into thy hand, revolve. In my stars I am above thee, but be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. My fates open their hands, let thy blood and spirit embrace them, and to inure thyself to what thou art like to be, cast thy humble slough and appear fresh. Be opposite with a kinsman, surly with servants, let thy tongue-tang arguments of state. Put thyself into the trick of singularity. She thus advises thee that sighs for thee. Remember who commended thy yellow stockings and wished to see thee ever cross-gartered. I say remember, go to, thou art made if thou desirest to be so. If not, let me see thee a steward. Still, the fellow of servants are not worthy to touch fortune's fingers. Farewell, she that would alter services with thee, the fortunate, unhappy. Daylight and champagne discovers not more. This is open.
I will be proud. I will read politic authors. I will baffle Sir Toby. I will wash off gross acquaintance. I will be point device, the very man.
I do not now fool myself, and let imagination jade me, for every reason excites to this, that my lady loves me. She did commend my yellow stockings of late. She did praise my leg being cross-gartered. In this she manifests herself to my love, and with a kind of injunction drives me to these habits of her liking. I thank my stars. I am happy.
I will be strange. Stout in yellow stockings and cross-gartered, even with the swiftness of putting on. Jove and my stars be praised.
Here is yet a postscript. Thou canst not choose but know who I am. If thou entertain'st my love, let it appear in thy
smiling. Thy smiles become thee well. Therefore, in my presence still smile, dear my sweet, I prithee. Jove, I thank thee. I will smile. I will do everything thou wilt have me.
Malvolio leaves.
I will not give my part of this sport for a pension of thousands to be paid from the Sophie.
I could marry this wench for this divorce.
So could I too.
And ask no other dowry with her but such another jest.
Nor I neither.
Here comes my noble gold catcher.
Mariah enters.
Wilt thou set thy foot on my neck?
Or on mine either?
Shall I play my freedom at tray trip and become thy bond slave?
If faith or I either.
Why, thou hast put him in such a dream that when the image of it leaves him, he must run mad.
Oh, nay, but say true, does it work upon him?
Like aqua vitae with a midwife.
If you will then see the fruits of the sport, mark his first approach before my lady. He will come to her in yellow stockings, and 'tis a colour she abhors, and cross-gartered, a fashion she detests, and he will smile upon her, which will now be so unsuitable to her disposition, being addicted to a melancholy as she is, that it cannot but turn him into a notable contempt. If you will see it, follow me.
To the gates of Tartar, thou most excellent devil of wit.
I'll make one too.
Scene 1. Feste is now in the garden playing his tabor drum as Viola, dressed as Cesario, enters.
A foolish thing was but a toy for the rain. It raineth every day.
Save thee, friend, and thy music. Dost thou live by thy tabor?
No, sir, I live by the church.
Thou a churchman?
No such matter, sir. I do live by the church, for I do live at my house, and my house doth stand by the church.
So thou mayest say the king lies by a beggar, if a beggar dwell near him, or the church stands by thy table, if thy table stand by the church.
You have said, sir, to see this age. A sentence is but a cheveril glove to a good wit. How quickly the wrong side may be turned outward.
Nay, that's certain. They that dally nicely with words may quickly make them wanton.
I would therefore my sister had had no name, sir.
Why, ma'am?
Why, sir, her name's a word, and to dally with that word might make my sister wanton. But, indeed, words are very rascals since bonds disgraced them.
Thy reason, man.
Troth, sir, I can yield you none without words, and words are grown so false I am loath to prove reason with them.
I warrant thou art a merry fellow, cares for nothing.
Not so, sir. I do care for something, but in my conscience, sir, I do not care for you. If that be to care for nothing, sir, I would it would make you invisible.
Art not thou the Lady Olivia's fool?
No, indeed, sir. The Lady Olivia has no folly. She will keep no fool, sir, till she be married. And fools are as like husbands as pilchards are to herrings. The husband's the bigger. I am indeed not her fool, but her corrupter of words.
I saw thee late at the Count Orsino's.
Foolery, sir, does walk about the orb like the sun. It shines everywhere. I would be sorry, sir, but the fool should be as oft with your master as with my mistress. I think I saw your wisdom there.
Nay, and thou pass upon me. I'll no more with thee. Hold, there's expenses for thee.
Now, Jove, in his next commodity of hair, send thee a beard.
By my troth, I'll tell thee, I am almost sick for one. though I would not have it grow on my chin. Is there a lady within?
Would not a pair of these have been bred, sir?
Yes, being kept together and put to use.
I would play Lord Pandarus of Phrygia, sir, to bring a Cressida to this Troilus.
I understand you, sir. 'Tis well begged.
The matter, I hope, is not great, sir. Begging, but a beggar. Cressida was a beggar. My lady is within, sir. I will constate to them whence you come. Who you are and what you would are out of my welkin. I might say element, but the word is overworn.
Feste leaves.
This fellow is wise enough to play the fool. And to do that well craves a kind of wit. He must observe their mood on whom he jests, the quality of persons and the time, and, like the haggard, check at every feather that comes before his eye. This is a practice as full of labour as a wise man's art. For folly that he wisely shows is fit, but wise men, folly fallen, quite taint their wit.
Sir Toby Belch and Sir Andrew Aguecheek enter.
Save you, gentlemen!
And you, sir.
Dieu vous garde, monsieur.
Et vous aussi, votre serviteur.
I hope, sir, you are, and I am yours.
Will you encounter the house? My niece is desirous you should enter, if your trade be to her.
I am bound to your niece, sir. I mean, she is the list of my voyage.
Taste your legs, sir. Put them to motion.
My legs do better understand me, sir, than I understand what you mean by bidding me taste my legs.
I mean to go, sir, to enter.
I will answer you with gate and entrance. But we are prevented.
Olivia and Maria enter.
Most excellent, accomplished lady. The heavens rain odours on you.
That youth's a rare courtier. Rain odours? Well!
My matter hath no voice, lady, but to your own most pregnant and vouchsafed ear.
Odours, pregnant and vouchsafed? I'll get 'em all three already.
Let the garden door be shut and leave me to my hearing.
Sir Toby, Sir Andrew and Maria leave.
Give me your hand, sir.
My duty, madam, and most humble service.
What is your name?
Cesario is your servant's name, fair princess.
My servant, sir. 'Twas never merry world since lowly feigning was called compliment. Your servant to the Count Orsino, youth.
And he is yours, and his must needs be yours. Your servant's servant is your servant, madam.
For him I think not on him. For his thoughts, would they were blanks rather than filled with me.
Madam, I come to whet your gentle thoughts on his behalf.
Oh, by your leave, I pray you. I bade you never speak again of him. But would you undertake another suit? I had rather hear you to solicit that than music from the spheres.
Dear lady...
Give me leave, beseech you. I did send, after the last enchantment you did here, a ring in chase of you. So did I abuse myself, my servant, and, I fear me, you. Under your hard construction must I sit, to force that on you in a shameful cunning which you knew none of yours. What might you think? Have you not set mine honour at the stake, and baited it with all the unmuzzled thoughts the tyrannous heart can think? To one of your receiving enough is shown. A cypress, not a bosom, hides my heart. So... let me hear you speak.
I pity you.
That's a degree to love.
No, not agrees, for 'tis a vulgar proof that very oft we pity enemies.
Why then, methinks, 'tis time to smile again. Oh, world, how apt the poor are to be proud. If one should be a prey, how much the better to fall before the lion than the wolf. The clock upbraids me with the waste of time. Be not afraid, good youth, I will not have you. And yet when wit and youth is come to harvest, your wife is like to reap a proper man. There lies your way, due west.
Then westward ho! Grace and good disposition attend your ladyship. You'll nothing, madam, to my lord by me?
Stay. I prithee, tell me what thou thinkst of me.
That you do think you are not what you are.
If I think so, I think the same of you.
Then think you right. I am not what I am.
I would you were as I would have you be.
Would it be better, madam, than I am? I wish it might, for now I am your fool.
Oh, what a deal of scorn looks beautiful in the contempt and anger of his lip. A murderer's guilt shows not itself more soon than love that would seem hid. Love's night is noon.
Cesario, by the roses of the spring, by maidhood, honour, truth, and everything, I love thee so that maugre all thy pride, nor wit nor reason can my passion hide. Do not extort thy reasons from this clause, for that I woo, thou therefore hast no cause, but rather reason thus with reason fetter. Love sought is good, but given unsought is better.
By innocence, I swear, and by my youth, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth, and that no woman has, nor never none shall mistress be of it, save I alone. And so adieu, good madam. Nevermore will I my master's tears to you deplore.
Yet come again, for thou perhaps mayst move that heart which now abhors to like his love.
Act 3, Scene 2. A room in Olivia's house. Enter Sir Toby Belch, Sir Andrew Aguecheek, and Fabian.
No, faith, I'll stay not a jot longer.
Thy reason, dear Venom? Give thy reason.
You must needs yield your reason, Sir Andrew.
Mary, I saw your niece do more favours to the Count's serving man than ever she bestowed upon me. I saw it at the orchard.
Did she see thee the while, old boy? Tell me that.
As plain as I see you now.
This was a great argument of love in her towards you.
Slight. Will you make an ass of me?
I will prove it legitimate, sir, upon the oaths of judgment and reason.
And they have been grand jurymen since before Noah was a sailor.
She did show favour to the youth in your sight, only to exasperate you, to awake your dormouse valour, to put fire in your heart and brimstone in your liver. You should then have accosted her, and with some excellent jests, fired new from the mint, you should have banged the youth into dumbness. This was looked for at your hand, and this was balked. The double guilt of this opportunity you let time wash off, and you are now sailed into the north of my lady's opinion, where you will hang like an icicle on a Dutchman's beard, unless you do redeem it by some laudable attempt, either of valour or policy.
An it be any way, it must be with valour, for policy I hate. I had as lief be a brownist as a politician.
Why then, build me thy fortunes upon the basis of valour. Challenge me the Count's youth to fight with him. Hurt him in 11 places. My niece shall take note of it. And assure thyself, there is no love broker in the world can more prevail in man's commendations with woman than report of valour.
There is no way but this, Sir Andrew.
Will either of you bear me a challenge to him?
Go. Write it in a martial hand. Be cursed and brief. It is no matter how witty, so it be eloquent and full of invention. Taunt him with the license of ink. If thou thou'st him some thrice, it shall not be amiss. And as many lies as will lie in thy sheet of paper, although the sheet were big enough for the bed of ware in England, set them down. Go. About it. Let there be gall enough in thy ink, though thou write with a goose pen. No matter. About it.
Where shall I find you?
We'll call thee at the cubiculo. Go.
Sir Andrew leaves.
This is a dear mannequin to you, Sir Toby.
I have been dear to him, lad. Some 2,000 strong or so.
We shall have a rare letter from him, but you'll not deliver it.
Never trust me, then. And by all means stir on the youth to an answer. I think oxen and wain ropes cannot hail them together. For Andrew, if he were opened and you find so much blood in his liver as will clog the foot of a flea, I'll eat the rest of the anatomy.
And his opposite, the youth, bears in his visage no great presage of cruelty.
Maria enters.
Look where the youngest wren of nine comes.
If you desire the spleen and will laugh yourselves into stitches, follow me. Yond gull Malvolio is turned heathen, a very renegado, for there is no Christian that means to be saved by believing rightly can ever believe such impossible passages of grossness. He's in yellow stockings.
And cross-gartered?
Most villainously. Like a pedant that keeps a school in the church, I have dogged him like his murderer. He does obey every point of the letter that I dropped to betray him. He does smile his face into more lines than is in the new map with the augmentation of the Indies. You have not seen such a thing as 'tis. I can hardly forbear hurling things at him. I know my lady will strike him. If she do, he'll smile and take it for a great favour.
Come, bring us. Bring us where he is.
Act 3, Scene 3. Walking in the street, we have Antonio and Sebastian.
I would not by my will have troubled you, but since you make your pleasure of your pains, I will no further chide you.
I could not stay behind you. My desire, more sharp than filed steel, did spur me forth, and not all love to see you, though so much as might have drawn one to a longer voyage, but jealousy what might befall your travel, being skillless in these parts, which to a stranger, unguided and unfriended, often prove rough and inhospitable. My willing love, the rather by these arguments of fear, set forth in your pursuit.
My kind Antonio, I can no other answer make but thanks, and thanks, and ever thanks. And oft good turns are shuffled off with such uncurrent pay. But were my worth, as is my conscience, firm, you should find better dealing.
What's to do? Shall we go see the relics of this town?
Tomorrow, sir. Best first go see your lodging.
I am not weary, and 'tis long tonight. I pray you, let us satisfy our eyes with the memorials and the things of fame that do renown this city.
Would you pardon me? I do not without danger walk these streets. Once in a sea fight against the Count, his galleys, I did some service. Of such note, indeed, that were I ta'en here, it would scarce be answered.
Belike you slew great number of his people.
The offence is not of such a bloody nature, albeit the quality of the time and quarrel might well have given us bloody argument. It might have since been answered in repaying what we took from them, which for traffic's sake most of our city did. Only myself stood out, for which, if I be lapsed in this place, I shall pay dear.
Do not then walk too open.
It doth not fit me. Hold, sir. Here's my purse. In the south suburbs at the Elephant is best to lodge. I will bespeak our diet, whiles you beguile the time and feed your knowledge with viewing of the town. There shall you have me.
Why I your purse?
Haply your eye shall light upon some toy you have desired to purchase. And your store, I think, is not for idle markets, sir.
I'll be your purse-bearer and leave you for an hour.
To the Elephant?
I do remember.
And they leave in opposite directions. Act 3, Scene 4. Olivia's garden. Olivia enters, followed by Maria.
I have sent after him. He says he'll come. Oh, how shall I feast him? What bestow of him? For youth is bought, more often begged or borrowed. I speak too loud. Where's Malvolio? He is sad and civil, and suits well for a servant with my fortunes. Where is Malvolio?
He's coming, madam, but in very strange manner. He is sure possessed, madam.
Why, what's the matter? Does he rave?
No, madam. He does nothing but smile. Your ladyship were best to have some guard about you if he come, for sure the man is tainted in his wits.
Go call him hither.
Maria leaves.
I am as mad as he, if sad and merry madness equal be.
Maria returns with Malvolio, who is cross-gartered with yellow stockings.
How now, Malvolio?
Sweet, lady.
Smilest thou? I sent for thee upon a sad occasion.
Sad, lady? I could be sad. This does make some obstruction in the blood, this cross-gartering. But what of that? If it please the eye of one, it is with me as the very true solid is. Please one, and please all.
Why, how dost thou, man? What is the matter with thee?
Not black in my mind, though yellow in my legs. It did come to his hands, and commands shall be executed. I think we know the sweet Roman hand.